How do I get started? Based on this requirement, what should I recommend? Universal HealthBit had a similar requirement regarding electronic signatures. We'll keep that process off-platform. Because there is the likelihood of many emails going out on the same day, Amaya is considering an email service provider. She is also thinking about using an SMS gateway to ensure the application status notifications go out to the customers. While there are certainly third-party providers that can manage these types of notifications, we shouldn't overlook a particular on-platform application that can as well, the Marketing Cloud. The Marketing Cloud's Email Studio and Mobile Studio can streamline the email and SMS messaging processes for Acme. We suggested DocuSign as the solution to Universal HealthBit's e-sign requirement. It'll work in this situation as well. What license types would you suggest based on the following user types? Here is the data model for Acme Insurance. Remember that access to certain objects in the data model will drive the decision behind what license a user is ultimately assigned. What license should I recommend? Help Amaya choose the license types for this particular user of the system. Select the best fit license type. Because the agent sales group needs access to leads, they will require a sales cloud license. What license would be a best fit? Select the best fit license type. What type of license would work here? Select the best fit license type. Select the best fit license type. I could upgrade them to chatter only. The chatter only license is also known as the chatter plus license. It is for users that don't have Salesforce licenses, but need access to some Salesforce objects in addition to chatter. What license should I recommend? Select the best fit license type. Select the best fit license type. What license should I recommend? Select the best fit license type. There are certain sharing mechanisms I can employ within Salesforce. Applicants using a customer community license are considered high-volume portal users. Therefore, standard role hierarchy does not apply. Administrators can create sharing sets to grant high-volume portal users access to objects based on their profiles. You get access based on whether that record has a lookup to your contact or your account. You get visibility of that record. Unlike other portal users, these high-volume portal users don't have roles, which eliminates performance issues associated with role hierarchy calculations. Because applicants are not in the role hierarchy, while Salesforce users, such as the underwriters, are, a share group allows you to specify the Salesforce users who can access records owned by applicants. A share group provides visibility of that shared set to internal users. You share that to a role internally. These are full Salesforce license users or partner community users. Amaya has already recognized that customers will be accessing the system via a mobile app. They will be able to check on their claim status and look up historical information as well. I should probably look at the Acme's existing system landscape, as well as the other applications I've decided to use. Here are the major players in my proposed future system landscape. Amaya is going to look at how the various actors will access and use the Salesforce platform, and how the existing systems can be integrated into a new system landscape. Since Acme will be working with both customers and independent agents, Amaya should consider the unique journey that both actors will take in the application process. She will tackle the applicant's journey first. Amaya remembers the social sign-on requirements from Universal HealthBit. This is probably a similar process. On the login page, there will be the ability to use a Salesforce username and password, buttons for Facebook and Google Plus at the bottom, and a link for registration. If the applicants click on the registration page, it will return a minimum set of fields, such as username, terms, and conditions. The customers create the account and receive an email with a link asking them to verify their account. As soon as they do so, they select a password and are then logged in. In terms of the OAuth flow for the mobile app, it's a user-agent flow. Click here for an in-depth look at each of the 6 authentication flows. Now that Amaya has satisfied the applicant's application requirement, she is now going to focus on the second manner in which applications are submitted, through the agent sales group. A partner community will allow agents to share contacts, leads, and records with fellow agents. In the community, agents can take action right in the feed and convert leads to opportunities. Finally, a community would allow the company to share customizable dashboards and reports with agents to ensure alignment with their key goals. Unless there is a compelling requirement, there is no reason you need separate communities for both customers and agents. An example of a compelling requirement would be different authentication methods for both parties. Agents authenticate with a specific identity provider, while customers log in with native Salesforce credentials or, in this case, through Facebook and Google. You can control who sees what data in a community through authorization. For example, a partner community user will see a leads tab, while a customer community user won't. Now that the application has been submitted, Amaya is going to shift her focus and address how an application makes its way through the existing Acme Insurance systems. Each system should be a SAML-enabled service provider that speaks with a central IDP. The applications the underwriters have approved are now ready to move through Acme's on-premise vetting systems. Yes, but I plan on circling back when we get to the SAML SSO-specific objectives. In order to ensure the underwriters' efficiency, Amaya should figure out a process that will provide them with the latest risk analysis, rating, and claims data. As she determined earlier, an ESB would simplify the orchestration. It would also allow the underwriters to continue with other tasks while the calls go out to the various systems. How would that look, though? Salesforce sends an asynchronous outbound message to the ESB with the relevant application information. Amaya has already decided to keep risk analysis off-platform. Which API should I use? Pick the API that works best with the various systems. This scenario mentions that there are REST and SOAP interfaces for both risk analysis and rating. For this scenario, it doesn't particularly matter which one you use. However, each one has certain pros and cons. The SOAP API is more strict and more contractual, and can be more difficult to deal with. In large enterprises, particularly in financial services such as this one, the SOAP definition message is quite elaborate. Generating APEX code to represent the SOAP service takes up a lot of code. There is an upper limit to how complex Salesforce can get when generating APEX. REST is easier to work with, but there is more room for error. For example, you can misspell things or label items incorrectly. The ESB makes a synchronous SOAP call to the risk analysis system. It looks like Acme is concerned about protecting the sensitive data in their rating system. I should probably consider how this particular integration might differ from the rest. In two-way SSL, both Salesforce and the respective server present a certificate to prove their identity to the other party. The identities of the client and server are represented by digital certificates. The trust between the two parties is established by having the certificates signed by a mutually trusted certificate authority, such as VeriSign. Here is how the process works. First, a client requests access to a protected resource. The server then presents its certificate to the client. Next, the client verifies the server's certificate. If successful, the client sends its certificate to the server. The server then verifies the client's credentials. Finally, if successful, the server grants access to the protected resource requested by the client. When working with client systems, our best practice is to whitelist our entire set of IP ranges. This is to ensure our login pools can process your end users' and integrations' login authentications when accessing Salesforce all over the world. The ESB makes a synchronous SOAP call to the rating system. Finally, the application is analyzed by the final source. The claims system checks for any past claims the customer has filed. The results are returned to Salesforce in aggregate via a synchronous Salesforce API. If the application has been approved, Amaya needs to configure a way for Salesforce to notify the applicant. She has already suggested Marketing Cloud as the application that will handle SMS notifications and emails. Marketing Cloud functionality includes DataStream, which can be utilized to replicate all specified Sales Cloud object data within the Marketing Cloud. This replication of data is done automatically at a set interval determined by an integrated user in the Marketing Cloud and utilizes different Salesforce APIs to accomplish this. The Marketing Cloud can pull the approved application record into Salesforce and send the email and SMS. Yes, you use DocuSign to satisfy the Universal HealthBit e-signature requirement. Yes. What systems are outstanding? So, Amaya has incorporated the risk analysis, rating, and claims systems into her proposed system landscape. She now needs to address the remaining systems. Both of the systems perform scheduled tasks within the landscape environment. The system will typically perform a poll, some sort of change data capture within Salesforce, around the modify date. The ETL then extracts the data using the bulk API and performs a daily load into the fraud detection system. Note that in this case, the integration is outbound from Salesforce. Commissions are inbound. By now, Amaya knows that the number of claims received per day can easily lead to large data volumes. She is leaving claims outside of Salesforce, so customers will be directed to a claims portal within the Acme Insurance landscape. Internal staff will have access to Chatter, which will enable them to communicate with each other with ease. At this point, Amaya has touched upon various aspects of identity and access management in her proposed system landscape. Applicants can register via Facebook or Google+, and she has proposed SAML across all systems so that underwriters can seamlessly log in to multiple systems at once. But now she is going to address the single sign-on requirements in detail. And when it comes to SSO, it's best to distinguish between internal and external users. Each solution will not only build upon her previous suggestions, but also rely on established processes for users to access both Salesforce and existing Acme systems. I'm going to assume the existing LDAP system is Active Directory-based. If the LDAP system is Active Directory-based, what is the best IDP choice for internal users to use single sign-on? A service provider, SP, initiated login is initiated when an internal employee clicks on a link to a Chatter post. That record will have a customized branded URL. As a starting point, single sign-on builds upon a feature called My Domain, which allows Acme to select a custom host name for each of their orgs. For Acme Insurance, a My Domain URL would look like https://acme.my.salesforce.com/ for a production org, or https://acme-developer-edition.my.salesforce.com/ for a developer edition. By configuring a My Domain, Salesforce is able to recognize the org for which unauthenticated requests are intended and perform customized behavior, such as redirecting to their identity provider. With My Domain, Salesforce is able to identify the org with which this link is associated and recognize that the org is configured for single sign-on. In that SSO configuration within the org, there is an endpoint to Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS. Salesforce sends a SAML request to the IDP via the browser. ADFS identifies that a user is trying to authenticate. At that point, a check is made to see if a session already exists with Active Directory or not. If the employee has logged into their desktop using Windows, a session already exists. If a session does not exist, the employee will be taken to a login prompt for Active Directory. After the credentials have been entered, ADFS establishes whether the username and password are correct. ADFS sends back a SAML response, which contains a digitally signed certificate. ADFS sends back a SAML response, which contains a digitally signed certificate. These certs are part of the SSO configurations that have already been uploaded into the org, and so there exists an inherent trust between the two parties. Once the SAML response is validated, a session is established in Salesforce and the employee is logged in. There is an HTTP parameter that is echoed back by the IDP called the relay state that allows Salesforce to redirect to a deep link, be it a Chatter post or a record. Does it matter if a user is accessing an employee community versus Salesforce? One identity provider can serve multiple service providers or web apps. If these service providers, for example, commissions, fraud, and risk, are configured within ADFS, once a user establishes a session with ADFS, they can use single sign-on to connect to any of the service providers. Amaya will configure social sign-on so that applicants can use Facebook or Google to register, and subsequently log in to the customer community. This means she will be using an external auth provider. If applicants are logging into the Salesforce customer community using native credentials, then an OAuth flow is unnecessary. SAML SSO should provide a seamless login experience. The claims portal needs to be SAML-enabled. Amaya needs to install the digital certificate in the claims portal so that a trust can be established between Salesforce and the claims portal. The Salesforce identity server is able to generate a SAML assertion itself and will perform a redirect to the claims portal. In this manner, a customer browsing within their Salesforce application can link to the claims portal seamlessly. Identity provider-initiated SAML is when a user starts directly at their identity provider, logs in, and is then redirected to a landing page at the service provider. For example, a customer clicks Submit a Claim on the Acme website. This link redirects the customer to a configuration in Salesforce called a Connected App, which has been enabled with SAML authentication. Because the customer already exists within Salesforce, the SAML token comes back to the customer's browser with a target, the claims portal. The portal receives the token and confirms the digital signature. The claims portal then allows the customer to land on the claims submission page. Agents use native authentication credentials to log into the partner community. Agents use native authentication credentials to log into the partner community. Since Amaya is using ADFS, just-in-time, JIT provisioning, can actually provision an employee the first time the system receives a SAML authentication. However, Amaya would need to create some type of scripted deprovisioning via an API call. Identity Connect handles JIT as well as deprovisioning. Applicants and customers are a different story, since there is no real way of tracking when a customer leaves a website or stops using its service. Deprovisioning likely occurs as some sort of batch query of users who haven't logged in within a certain amount of time.